So they did indeed bring their costliest treasures. But perhaps the most costly treasure that they did bring was themselves, their hearts, and their desire to worship, to find this king and to worship him. Our other two stories are not from the Bible, but they both feature the wise men. And I think they help us to reflect on our personal response to the call to come to the king. The first is the old Russian legend of Babushka. And I think there's a wee picture, yes, the Babushka, who some of you might be familiar with, some of you may not. Babushka is the Russian word for a grandmother. Babushka lived in a little village, and the villagers were really very excited because they had been seeing for some time in the sky a bright star. They didn't know what it meant, but they kind of sensed it meant something important, and they were full of questions about it. What can it be? Babushka was kind of interested too, but her main concern was the things that she had to do, because her pride was her house, keeping it tidy, keeping it clean, having everything sorted and just right. So she didn't bother too much with wondering about the star. One night, there comes a knock on the door. The villagers having said, there's something going on, there's some kind of procession. Babushka is the one who gets the knock on the door. And at the door are three kings. Three kings bearing gifts. And they say to her, Babushka, we are on our way to visit the Christ child, a savior king who's been born to us. Will you come with us? We've chosen you to come with us. And Babushka says, yeah, I'd like to do that, but I can't come right now. I've got to get my house tidied up. I'll come with you in the morning. They say to her, well, Babushka, we'll be setting off first thing in the morning, so we hope that you will come and join us. She goes back into the house. She gets on with the stuff that she needs to do. And at the end of her cleaning and polishing, it's well into the night, she sort of thinks, oh, they had a gift. They were taking gifts to this king. I've got something. And in a cupboard, she finds some toys, but they're a bit dusty and a bit needing a polish. So she takes a bit more time, gets that all sorted, and exhausted, falls asleep at her table. When she wakes up, it's well into the next day. I better just do a final tidy up, she says, and then I'll go and meet these wise men. And they've gone. So she sets off to find them. And all along her way, everywhere she comes, yep, these wise men, yes, they've been here. You're too late. And finally, she arrives in Bethlehem. And she finds a stable. And she's directed there. And she's told, yeah, there was something going on here. There was a baby here. But they've gone. They've gone to Egypt. And there were some kings, but they went away too. And then she hears a voice speaking to her. I am sorry, but as you see, you're too late. There were shepherds, but they came as soon as the angels told them about the king. The kings were here, but they came as soon as they saw the star. It was Jesus, the Christ child that they found, the world's savior. The legend says that Babushka is still roaming the world looking for that child. And that round about Christmas time, if the children are lucky, she comes and she places a toy in their house for them. But she's never yet found the Christ child whom she missed. Someone who didn't come when she was called to come. The second story is a novella, a long short story, of The Other Wise Man. You may know it. It was written by a chap called Henry Van Dyke in 1895. And I was introduced to this when I was a wee girl at school. Our teacher read it to us. And it's a completely fictional story of a fourth wise man. His name was Artaban. And he is a member of the same kind of group, the Zoroastrians, as the three magi that we read of in the Bible. He has made an arrangement to meet them and to journey with them when this star appears, to journey by horse across the plains to find the Christ child in Jerusalem, which is where they think a new king would be. He's carrying gifts for the child, three precious stones, a ruby, a sapphire, and a pearl. Along his way, a variety of things happen. First off, he meets a sick man whom he stops to help. That makes him late, so he has to go back home and use one of his jewels to buy camels that will take him faster across the desert and food for this prolonged journey that he's having. He eventually does get to Bethlehem, and he uses his next jewel to save a child, to bribe a soldier who is employed by Herod to come and slaughter the children, to bribe that soldier to leave in peace a young woman who has befriended him and to spare her baby. He wanders the world looking for this new king. And after some 30 years, he finds himself in Jerusalem. He's worn out by his travels. Someone says, the king of the Jews is to be crucified. And he thinks, I've got my last jewel, my pearl. Perhaps I can find someone who'll take this pearl as a kind of ransom and free him. And suddenly there takes place a huge earthquake. And in the midst of this, he finds a slave girl who's crying out for help to be freed because she's going to be sold off to a very unpleasant future. And he says to his God, forgive me, I had this for my king, for this king, but I think I need to use it for this slave girl. And then he's hit by a piece of falling debris, and as he lies on the ground dying, he realizes that, or he believes, he's not going to find his king. He feels his quest has failed. And then a voice speaks to him. Verily, I say unto thee, inasmuch as thou hast done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, thou hast done it to me. His journey was ended. His treasures had been accepted. And the other wise man had found the king, not in the way he expected, but he had found the king. Three very different stories. Three different approaches to what happens when we are called to come to Christ. We're going to think more about that in a moment or two.